Good morning, folks. This section, which is Luke 1:46 to 55, Mary's song, very well known piece in the Bible. Thank you. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Even as he said to our fathers."
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again this week. Make sure you keep your Bibles open to Mary's song. That's what we'll be looking at today. Why do you sing? And when do you sing? We've just sung a few great songs here in the morning, but when else do you sing? Do you sing while you're doing the housework at home? Are you the type of person who sings in the shower? Maybe you're someone who sung a lullaby to a child who couldn't quite get to sleep. I've watched a couple of AFL matches recently, and I've noticed that all the teams will sing their team song after a victory. The Barmy Army at the cricket will regularly break into "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" when England's winning, and they'll do it at a rugby match too, and then at the pub afterwards, and whenever they feel like, really. But why do you sing? What reasons do you have to burst forth into song, particularly to God? Well, as we look at Mary's song today, we're going to see what reasons she has to sing and why we can share in them. So please pray with me as we start. Heavenly Father, please open your word to us. By your Spirit, work in us and help us to love you more and serve you better. Amen. So as we get to this section in the book of Luke, Luke has been bouncing between two different stories of miraculous births. The first story that we're in the middle of is the story of John the Baptist. We've heard how when Zechariah was serving at the temple, he saw an angel who told him that he would have a son. We also found out that Zechariah did not believe what the angel told him, and so now he cannot speak until his son is born. The other story we're in the middle of is the story of the birth of Jesus. Mary has heard the news from the angel that she will have a child by the Holy Spirit. And now Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John, are getting together for the first time since they heard the news. And Elizabeth has a rather strange greeting for Mary. She says, "Blessed am I because I get to see the mother of my Lord." Mary looks at it, takes that in stride, and then she bursts into song. But if you noticed in the song, Mary's words are rather strange. She says that God is her saviour. How can God be her saviour? Jesus hasn't been born yet. She can't be saved until Jesus is older. And then later on she says, "God has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down rulers." All of these things, they won't happen until after Jesus' resurrection. So why does she talk about them like they've already happened? Well, this is often what happens in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. People will speak as if things in the future have already happened because God told them that they would happen. And when God tells you something will happen, you can be 200% sure that it will happen. So you may as well speak as if it already has, even if it hasn't yet. So Mary is talking about all the things that God will do, but she is so sure that God will do them, that he will be faithful to his word, that she speaks about it as if it already has happened. And we find out in verse 50 that Mary isn't just singing because God has been good to her and God is going to do good things for her, but she's praising God because he will do good things for all generations of those people who fear God. God has been merciful. He has saved us. He is our Saviour. But he will do this in the most unlikely way possible. If you knew you needed saving from something, who do you think would save you? If you were caught in the rip at a beach, you'd probably expect one of these lifesavers to come out and get you. If your house was on fire and you needed rescuing, well then a firefighter is the person you'd expect to come and get you. But who do you expect to save you from the consequences of our rebellion against God? Well, only God himself can do that. And if God himself was coming into the world, how would you expect it to happen? Surely God, the creator of the world, is coming with thunder and lightning and something a bit like the book of Revelation, white horse, giant sword, angels and trumpets everywhere. But that's not how God comes into the world. Mary describes it like this. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. God's plan for salvation is the reverse of all our expectations. Jesus comes into the world not as a rich and powerful ruler, but as a helpless, poor child, born not in a palace, but in a manger. And Jesus will not save his people with a sword or a battle cry, but instead with humble service and death on a cross. God is not using the proud, the rich, the powerful. He is using the humble, the weak, and the faithful for his purposes. We see in the service of Jesus that sin and death have been defeated. His resurrection shows us that death is no more and that those who fear God can be saved. And God has done this not through power or might, but through humble and faithful service. And we see this starting with Mary. Mary's no one particularly special. She's just a girl from the backwater town in the middle of Israel. But when God called, she answered. She listened and believed. And that is all God needed to use her powerfully for his great work of salvation in this world. He chose her to come into this world. And that means even when we don't feel particularly special, when we don't feel particularly powerful or influential, we know that God can still use us. If we are willing to listen to him, if we are willing to be faithful and answer his call, he can use us, no matter who we are. And God uses us not because we are powerful, but because he is faithful and just to all his promises. Mary's song also points out that Jesus is not God's plan B. She talks about Jesus being the fulfillment of promises given to Abraham and Israel. In the Old Testament, Abraham was promised that one day one of his descendants would bring a blessing to the world. David in the book of 2 Samuel was promised that one of his sons would rule forever on his throne. Israel was promised that they would be a light to the nations who would bring people to God. And all of those promises find their yes in Jesus. Release from every stain is God's only plan. And it is found and begins in the manger at Christmas. Salvation is found in the humble service and sacrifice of Jesus. And so if you're looking for meaning or fulfillment from work or power or money or influence, you can stop now because you won't find it there. Our relationship with God can only be fixed when we admit that there is nothing we can do to fix it, and believe that God has done everything required to bring us back to Him so that we can call Him our Father. This is why Mary sings. Mary bursts into song because God is her Saviour. The death and resurrection of Christ has reconciled us to God, and so we can sing with Mary. We can proclaim loudly, "The Lord has done great things for me. Holy is His name." But what happens when I don't feel like singing? What happens when I just feel sad, when it feels like the world is against me, when everything is going wrong and nothing I do goes right? What happens when I can't come to church because if I come to church, I'll have to sing and I just don't feel like it right now? Well, Mary is a good example for us here as well. When you think about it, Mary doesn't have a lot of reason to sing to God either. Mary is a teenage girl in the middle of first century Israel, and she's now pregnant even though she's not married yet. It took an angel from heaven to convince Joseph not to divorce her, so you can probably guess that the rest of the people in the village didn't believe her when she said, "No, the child is God's." That's why I think she's going to stay with her relative Elizabeth, because she needs to go and spend time with the one person who will believe her, rather than face the scorn and jeers of the people in her home village. God is doing great things for Mary, but it's probably really hard going for her. So she doesn't have a lot of reason to sing, but she still says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Despite everything that is going on, Mary praises God because He is her Saviour. And nothing about her external circumstances can change that. This has been a helpful reminder for me at the moment. As most of you know, I'm looking for a job for next year and still haven't found one. The closer we get to the end of the year, the closer January gets, and the less jobs come up on all the websites, the more stressed I get about it. The more worried I get about where I'm going to be next year. But Mary reminds me that I can still praise God because no matter what is going on, He has still saved me, and nothing will change that. When it feels like the world is against us, when it feels like nothing is going right, when it feels like God isn't listening, we are still saved. Everything that has needed to be done to bring us back to God has already been done. And so we can say, praise God for His work for us. Does that mean we're not allowed to be sad? Does that mean we're not allowed to find things hard? Not at all. The book of Psalms has lots of songs dedicated to saying, "I'm sad." We are allowed to be sad, we are allowed to find life hard, and we don't have to pretend that life is easy. But Mary's song reminds us that no matter how hard things get, we are still saved. And that gives us all the reasons we need to praise God, even when life is hard. As the great hymn writer has said, "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." As Christians, we always have reasons to praise God. Even when we hit rock bottom, we can say, "Look at what Christ has done for me. He uses me even though I am no one special. He has saved me, not because I deserved it, but because he loves me." Even when we don't feel like singing, we can sing because of what Christ has done for us. God doesn't always work through the rich, the powerful, and the influential. He works through the faithful. So when you feel like you can't be used by God for whatever reason, read Mary's song. Remember that Christ can use you whenever you point people to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you use us, even though we are not rich or powerful or influential. Thank you that you have lifted up the humble. Help us to remember that we can always praise you. Thank you for saving us. Amen.